From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Potbrad, your sideways look at the news from the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains in the east of Slovakia. That's why we call it Postcard from Potbrad, because we're in Potbrad. On the other side of the pond or cesspit called the North Sea, it's Lee Banks.
Hello, everybody. It's lovely to be back and having a bit of a rant and a bit of a scream and a bit of a shout and listening to Eric getting everything wrong and upsetting everybody.
I did not.
Yeah, but they don't know if they've not been listening.
Well, where have they been if they've not been listening for the last half an hour?
I don't know where they've been if they've not been listening for the last half hour.
Well, it's
where
not my
mean,
fault.
Ladies and gentlemen.
For goodness sake, don't invoke problems.
Hello, Rado. Did he bleeding again?
Stop it, you.
He's there, ladies and gentlemen. I just spoke to him.
Yeah, he's genuinely here, but he declined the opportunity of going on air. I can't understand what... What's the problem, anyway, with going on air? There's only 7 million people listening.
He said his wall bracket's broken.
That's exactly the problem. Which reminds me, I've got to say hi to a bunch of Slovak people that are down in Italy at Whirlpool, the main place, main offices down there.
Whirlpool?
Yes, Whirlpool.
Whirlpool?
Yeah.
In Britain, where they come from, they call Whirlpool.
No. Excuse me, what do you mean, where they come from?
Whirlpool's an English company.
It's not, it's Italian.
Is it, by George?
And where is the factory for the whole of Europe?
In Slovakia.
Just down the road from Poprad. So don't say they're from England, you nana.
I thought they were from England. I thought when you got a Whirlpool washing machine, that was from England.
Well, it is. You get it from an English shop, but we sent it to you from Slovakia.
Oh, that is so nice. I haven't got one anyway. They're rubbish.
They're wonderful.
They are actually very good. I apologise for that Whirlpool.
Yes,
Whirlpool
exactly. Yes.
In Italy. Yeah, no, they are very good. No, I do have one, actually. If you listen quietly, you can hear it going in the background.
Yeah, right.
It's just sucked a boat down into the middle of it.
Right, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, I apologise in advance for the next topic of conversation.
I'm saying nothing.
Petrol prices hit a record high in the UK. Oh, he has got quiet.
I told you I wasn't saying anything.
But you're driving a car later today.
Well, now we're going to pick up... Well, no, we're not, really.
Actually, what, are you telling me you're picking up an electric car today, then?
Yeah, one of those little ones with a little handset, you know, like you play with in your lounge. I'm having one of them because it's safer.
Right, okay. Mm.
Now, I'm picking up a car that somebody's trying to sell and they're leaving the country and it's making me very sad because I'll miss them desperately and they can't sell the car. So I'm going down to Manchester to have a party to say goodbye, which is a bit like having a wake, really, when you don't want them to go. Mm. And them driving back in their car to sell it for them. And
They're nuts.
Pardon, nuts?
They're nuts.
Why?
They're emigrating. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
emigrating. So they're emigrating from the UK. Yeah. They've given you the car, which they now no longer have control over.
And it's in my name.
And it's in your name to sell. Don't wait
Don't
for the payment.
Like
Don't wait for the payment, whoever you are. Just save the lawyer's fees and don't go there.
I wouldn't. Anyway, I've got to be honest, like, ladies and
gentlemen. And what is the car you're allegedly selling?
Don't even take me down that road.
What is the car?
Actually, it's a Peugeot 307. That's why they're leaving the country. That was absolute shame. The shame of owning one. That was worse than Michael Mondeo, Peter the Peugeot.
Apparently, petrol's reached a new high of 137.44 pence per litre. It's an average figure. I do agree that if you live out in the middle of nowhere, in the very rural outbacks of England, it was also said by the Country Alliance that prices there are more. And that's your fault, Lee, if you live there.
Well, it's not my fault that I live there. It's just I can't afford the petrol to escape.
Well, no, but if you sold your house, you could live in a little flat in town.
Yeah, quite right. Yeah, it's my fault that petrol's now reached 150p a litre in the rural areas of the UK. Do you want to know why it's reached that, really, truthfully?
Go on, then.
43% of the price of a gallon of petrol, or of a litre of petrol, if you want to do it in modern parlance, is duty. 22% of it is VAT, right? That's a total of 80%.
Yes.
No, it's 59%, isn't it?
Well, whatever, it's a lot.
60% of the price of petrol in Britain
this, you'll
is
be on me.
Tax.
Right.
Is tax. 60%, to make it simple for the Erics of this world, 60% of the price of a litre of petrol in this country is tax. Petrol right. should actually be about 70p a litre, which right. is still absolutely
and
ludicrous.
And your point is?
That is still absolutely ludicrous.
Right, and your point is?
That we're being ripped off.
Well, no, you should be lobbying. You should be lobbying for a reduction in the duty on fuel.
Well, we can't. There are lobbies for it, and we just these lobbies are just laughed at. Do you realise that in this summer, the English government is going to put duty up on a pint of a gallon of petrol or fuel?
pint of petrol. yeah, go on.
I think you know smart if you drink a pint of that. Man,
yeah, exactly.
And yeah, they're going to put another 3p on the duty. Now, that doesn't mean that the petrol companies aren't going to put the price up either. We are being priced out of the market. What they're actually doing, they're conning us by saying, ha-ha, well, this is for the betterment of the world. We're actually trying to protect the world by this. But what they're doing is pocketing
lots of money.
He's on duty. That's right. I'm pretending it's for the betterment of the world.
I think Lee just ran out of petrol. Moving along. Barclays have borrowed €8.2 billion from the European Central Bank. This is the bank that was almost always boasting the fact it didn't need any money from anywhere. Got a load of money a few years ago from the Middle East to keep going. So it didn't have any citizens' money in it, so to speak. Now, logically, the European Central Bank, I might be wrong, but that's funded by all the money that people put into Europe.
I thought that, really, yes.
But I'd be, Rado's just sort of going, don't know. But I just sort of wonder if it's not the case that this money that's being used by the Central European Bank didn't start somewhere like the EU and everywhere else, because everybody pays into it. Therefore, it's state-owned, effectively, because where did the European Central Bank get their money from in the first place? Namely, in this instance, Lee, you and I.
Yeah.
So, therefore, a big chunk of Europe owns bits of Barclays now, then.
Well, I think that's absolutely right, and it is just the wrong thing, really. So why don't we just shut down a place like Barclays? Why don't we just say, that's it, finish, shoot Barclays, done.
Shut Barclays down? Yeah, can do. Yeah, we can do.
I think we should, honestly. I think that anybody who is so cynical about how they make money out of people like you and I, because I don't have any, and people like that they should actually be shut down.
Or told how to run.
Well, yeah, but the problem is now, you know, if they are told how to run, who are the people who are going to tell them how to run? They're going to be government ministers and people like that. People
well, they
who
can't even add up.
Exactly.
Anyway, moving along, wrong. This could be a bit of a bun fight and a bit of fun when I tell you why I think this is going to be quite fun in a moment. Google's privacy changes, which we touched on last week, are now implemented. Yeah. And the thought is that they are actually in breach of EU law.
Exactly.
Now, the lady who's in charge of all this lot is one Vivian Redding.
How do you know it's a woman?
Because I've spoken to her. Don't you remember she was on the programme last year?
She was. Hello, Vivian. Sorry. I've just shot myself up by metatarsal.
Are you having a sort of girly thing today? Have you got blonde dye in your hair today?
Not blonde dye.
You sure?
Have you ever met Blondie?
Blondie, yeah. Down at the beach. In Australia, Blondie Beach. Anyway, Vivian Redding, she was the lady that became very notable last year because she fought the high roaming charges across the EU, and she won Now, this is the lady that has said that the new Google privacy changes are not legal and transparency rules have not been applied. Now, I'm warning you. Hello, Mr. Google. Pay attention. If you are listening, this lady took on all the mobile phone companies in the EU last year and she won. Meaning she's not afraid of you lot, Mr. Google and Mrs. Google, and also YouTube, Gmail and Blogger, also owned by Messrs. Google. So you might want to just check your small print a little bit here to make sure you haven't made a big boo-boo. Because
have you read what Google have said though?
Yes, I have. Well, we touched on it last week, but But what I would also add, of course, that Google has offices all over Europe, like the one in Italy that got into big hot water for putting that video up with that poor little boy who was a handicapped kid, and they got into trouble and were threatened with 6 months imprisonment, which was, of course, suspended for a while. But
that's what should happen to them. They should be suspended.
But. They did do that. And also Google have got into trouble in the UK as well with massive fines. So I would be a little bit worried about this and I would be checking. And don't check, Mr. Google, with American lawyers because they won't understand the EU stuff properly.
There is a point to this as well, though, Eric. This is the thing that always worries me about situations like this. And you, as somebody who's perhaps a bit better in the know than I am on this, could probably answer it. Once Google have actually implemented this policy, which I think is absolutely heinous and absolutely shameful, this is the greatest assault on human privacy that I've ever, ever witnessed. But once they've put it into place... And even if the courts across the world turn against them and tell them to stop it, can they actually stop it?
Yes.
But what about all the data that they've collected? Will they have to get rid of it?
Yeah, they can, not in the biblical sense, but they can effectively put a cyber match to it and burn it.
Yeah.
And that can be done, yeah.
But would they do it?
They would have to, because if the investigators went in... And it was found to be stored, rather like when they said, it wasn't us, Gov, when they were checking the Google Street Maps and they found the data was there, they then had to get rid of it. So
why wouldn't they disseminate it all over the place and then put a cyber match to it? I think even if they're caught now, the in quotes, crime that they've committed against humanity will never, ever...
But, of course, the other side of the fence on this one, Lee, is you don't have to use Blogger.
You don't have
to use Gmail, YouTube and everything else. And you certainly don't have to use Google search engine because there's nothing stopping you using Bing.
I agree. But also, surely, because Google is the biggest and the best, apparently, that actually if you stop using them, your ability to do what you want to do would be compromised.
No, not at all. Because if you want to Bing something as opposed to Google it, there's nothing. The search results aren't going to be terribly different. But it does mean because... Obviously, Google and Microsoft owning Bing, need to give you similar results. But there again, as I said the other week, if you're on Facebook and you put Lee Banks into the search bar on Facebook, it won't give you results from Google anyway. It'll give you results from Bing.
Yeah, I know you did say that. That's right. Yeah, that's right. I've actually been experimenting.
So I suppose we should say Bing it.
Well, I think the whole thing should be binged, yeah. But he said, but it is a simple fact that if you don't sign on to your Google account, i.e., by signing on to Gmail, that Google will still track your every move, and although it won't know who you are necessarily, it will know what computer you're on, and that is not a big bronchitic lark spit to get it to find out who you are.
I can assure you, a 13-year-old kid would know how to hide the address of a computer and possibly, if they're smart, be able to use some kidology in technical sort of coding to actually convince the computer it's in a completely different part of the world.
Well, I know you said that. I understand what you're saying, and I think that's very laudable. Hmm. But the simple fact is that some...
I know what it is. The simple fact is you can't do it.
I can't do it, and why should I have to do it?
Well, you're a computer Luddite.
I'm just trying to work out a joke to that, but I couldn't think of it, so we'll carry on.
Right, we'll carry on.
But if I can't do that, why should I actually be put in a position where I've actually got... You see, this is privacy, this is honesty, and what you're talking about is actually the tantamount to cyber lying to keep your privacy.
Yeah, kind of. Two men have been found guilty over the... robbery of a Malaysian student in the London riots last year. And I have to say, eureka! Absolutely eureka. This poor guy comes over as a student. He wasn't involved in anything. And he was laying on the floor, pardon me, slightly injured. And these two oafs from Essex stole things from him, you know, from his bag. It was actually on film. Yeah. And the truth is that they were just out of order. And I have to say, they should blinking well lock them up and throw the key away.
Well, I don't think the fact that this bloke was a visitor to the country has anything to do with it at all. I think if they'd done it to anybody, that they are scum. They really are scum. And do we want to name them? Because you don't like to name people in these cases.
No, it's not that I don't like to name them. I have this theory...
This notoriety that you give them.
Yes, that they actually live off the fact that they've become famous in their clans or gangs or whatever because they've been in prison or have been up before the judge.
But it also warns people who these people are.
John Kafunda and Rhys Donovan. Don't do anything with them.
Yeah.
Don't
read your names on the internet and weep.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Are the scum of the earth.
Absolutely.
To actually pretend to be helping somebody who was injured for whatever reason they were injured. Mm-hmm. And so while you're helping them, while they are actually bleeding and in pain in front of you, you stole from them. One of them's
you
actually.
You are just scum.
Yeah, you are.
Absolutely.
You are.
Talking of somebody.
That's the time when privacy was posted on YouTube. And actually worked for the better. And also, these blokes have to be idiots for doing it in front of CCTV cameras.
Yeah, well, they can't be that brainy then anyway, can they? they're stupid scum. this is going to hurt a bit, because this is a positive story about a bank, which goes against the grain of this programme completely.
It's positive, really.
Well, it is, because Northern Rock have paid back £2 billion of a government loan. Now, Northern Rock was the bank that got into trouble because it had the most abysmal business model. And then there was something that hasn't been seen since the 1930s, namely a run on the bank, meaning all the private individuals wanted their money back. So they were bailed out by the British taxpayer and British government. And it was just unbelievable how much money they pumped in. And apparently there's still 46.6 billion outstanding.
You know what? While you say this, I agree with you in a way, but also you've got to look at it in a different way, slightly differently, right? Now, I don't think that the fact that Northern Rock have actually paid back £2 billion out of a £20 billion debt is that brilliant. The average debt in Britain is round about, just say for easy figures, £10,000.
Right.
Yeah? That means they've paid the equivalent to £1,000 off their debt.
Yes.
Well, so what?
Well, if your average human being did that,
you wouldn't be doing a news story on it. These people cocked up the whole financial system of the world because of their absolute crassness and inability to operate the business in a reasonable way. Yeah. And they've managed to pay back less than, about.
What would you rather have, paying back or getting nothing back?
Well, if you want to look at it that way,
I can hear a phone going somewhere. Is it your phone?
No, it's not my phone.
Well, it's not my phone this week.
Is it Raddo's phone?
It's not Raddo's phone.
Is he phoning up a plumber?
No, he's not. He's being a good boy just sitting there because he's waiting for me. Anyway, I have to say, I'm I hear all of what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing with it. But I do applaud the fact that they are paying the debt back and not just sitting there and going, oh, it's only government and people's money. We're not paying it back.
They did it in 2007. What year is it now? 2012. It's taken them 5 years to do that.
No, this is from last year's figures, 2011 figures, Lee.
I'm just checking that.
Thank you. They only just issued the figures now for 2011. It takes a little while when you're adding up numbers.
So it's 4 years.
Yeah.
Well, forgive me for breathing. I was nearly a year out. They're 19 billion out. That's what I mean. The little person gets picked on.
Oh,
the big person
again.
Like this just has to get on with it. Oh, look how much we paid back. Ooh, 5 years. That's 2% a year they managed to pay back.
Oh, well, whatever. Apple is now, valued at $500 billion and is now the world's most valuable company, dwarfing people like Microsoft and even oil giants like Exxon, which is unbelievable.
What do Apple do?
I don't know.
See, nobody knows what Apple does.
I have no idea. They've nothing to do with anything I know about, and nothing. Well, the only thing they make is cardboard boxes that people put in plastic bags to put in the loft. that's what I think Apple
Isn't
make.
That incredible, though, that nobody really knows what Apple does.
Have you got an iPhone?
Have I got an iPhone?
Rado's got an iPhone. Yeah, he's an Apple man.
I'm supposed to have an iPhone, but I haven't got one.
And it's still in my bag. But I've got an HTC.
Yeah, well, I've still got a little what's-it thingy.
A Nokia.
No, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't mean that. I don't have a little what's-it thingy. I have a big what's-it thingy. But I'm a little Nokia.
Right, moving along, because we need to add this together at some point. Sorry, bad joke. Poor numeracy blights the economy and ruins lives, which is something I've been banging on for years. And the group called National Numeracy says millions of people are struggling to understand a payslip or even a household bill. And the interesting factor is that they reckon that, or KPMG, the auditors, are suggesting that the annual cost to the UK public purse from people who have failed to master basic numeracy skills is around £2.4 billion a year. And I have to say, I blame the teachers.
I blame the teachers and the education system and the schools. Of course you do.
Don't take a calculator into school. You should learn your tables. Can you do tables?
Count your fingers. Use your fingers.
Yeah, we're just having a quick discussion here.
Work it out with a pencil.
No, that's something else. But the point is that when we were kids, and I know I'm going to sound like an old git, but the fact is we could do our tables. We could do 2 2s are 4, 3 2s are 6, blah, 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 blah. And you didn't need a calculator. Most of the time now...
It's been invented.
Well, that's true. Well, there was one, but that was in Bletchley Park. And even to this day, I still sort of run numbers down. And a great friend of ours and our chairman sitting in this side of the pond, he just looks at numbers and runs his finger down like my late father used to and adds them up and they're perfect.
That's right.
The problem. Computers and calculators are wonderful things. You know, I'm the first person to spout off about computers. But when you're learning things like basic numeracy, you need to add up from your head. You've got to be able to think. And what happens when the calculator battery goes flat? Do you say, oh, excuse me, I can't do the exam now. I need a new battery, please.
I think you're right. And the thing is, what people don't realise because of this calculator age is that actually to be able to calculate in your head is a very exciting and very interesting and very beautiful thing to be able to do. Yeah. To have these, if you visualise, the only way you can do it is to visualise the figures. And it becomes a sort of visual art of how to move dexterously.
Between... You're off again. You're off again.
Sorry.
You're off again. The Times art critic again. You are. You're off into one again. No, it's just cool.
But it's true. It's true. It's like writing. It's like writing. It is a form of writing. It's a form of creativity. Creative accounting. Don't forget about creative accounting.
Oh, stop it.
It's
on you. You're going to get there
eventually.
What
about that bank who got... Oh,
yeah, right. But no, the thing is, it's just cool to, while somebody else flapping about trying to find the calculator on their phone, and you've got the answer, and then you go, yeah, well, that's what I've already said. Now, that's cool. It's nothing
if we
to do
were
with
a proper programme now, we'd be doing each other, we'd be giving each other tests.
Yeah, but...
And arithmetic tests.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, but you'd fail.
No, I'd fail on spelling, because I am dyslexic and I don't have any problem with saying that.
I'm brilliant at spelling and brilliant at adding up in my head. When I used to be an antiques dealer, which I did, ladies and gentlemen, I used to be an antiques dealer.
Until you went bankrupt.
Until I went bankrupt, yeah, because of all the rubbish I was buying.
Couldn't add it
I could add it up in my head.
Right. Anyway, probably one of the reasons why Lee's head doesn't work anymore is scientists believe they are closer to understanding how taking cannabis disrupts short-term memory. Sorry, what are we doing?
Well, what? I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what.
Who are you?
Like that famous president whose name now escapes me. I cannot say that I have never tried that wicked weed. Mm. But, ladies and gentlemen, I did not inhale.
Ah, right. So you didn't swallow then?
I can't remember.
The Canadian team from the Ottawa University narrowed down the effects to a particular type of brain cell called something.
Astrocyte.
That's the word. Thank you very much. So they put all this stuff in the journal Cell, not your mobile phone,
cell.
America.
Brain cell.
Yeah, in the journal Cell, The funny thing is, I remember, gee whiz.
No, you don't, you forgot.
Yeah, in the days of Radio Luxembourg, doing the wacky news on there. The wacky news. When in America, in one of the states, they actually made it legal to issue cannabis cigarettes to those with multiple sclerosis because it was actually helping them. One hand, you've got scientists who say one thing, and on the other hand, you've got scientists that say the other. But what my argument would always be, I've never seen a punch-up started with those smoking cannabis, and yet I have from those drinking alcohol.
Somebody's your stash.
Oh, well, that's all right then. I suppose that counts, does it?
No, I tell you, I agree. If you think about it, I really want to say this very, 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 very briefly because I just think it's something that I believe in. I don't recommend drugs of any form to anybody, not even legal drugs, not things that cure your nose cold and things like that. Drugs are a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But actually, cannabis, like Eric has just said, is not renowned for causing wars and fights and stabbings and murders, whereas alcohol is. Mm-hmm. The problem with cannabis is that nobody can actually come to a trade agreement with the countries that actually grow it. Afghanistan and places like that, they cannot come to a trade agreement.
Yeah, right. No, I think the problem is with it, it's always been denoted as a drug. Never been actually tested in so many ways that it could be cleaned up. And finally, of course...
You don't want to clean it up because it's a natural drug.
No,
it's
and
not
finally, there's no revenue for governments.
Well, that's what I've just said. You can't do a trade agreement. That's exactly what I meant.
No, they
can't
make
it a trade agreement.
They can't put it in shops and put duty and tax on it, whereas they can with alcohol, which is why alcohol's always left alone.
People die because of alcohol.
Yes. At that point, we've got to leave Postcard from Pop Rad for another week, boys and girls. We'll be back same channel, same time, same place next week. Have a good week. Till next week. Bye-bye.
From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.